Last week, we started with the characteristics of a devotee, Bhakta Lakshana, or nature of a devotee. And Bhagwan says, the one who is Advaishta, one who does not hurt Sarva Bhutanam, everybody. At our level, I told you, if we can reduce our expectations from the world and also try to not find faults in others, it could take us closer to Advaishta. One is, if you do see any fault, try to see something good in that person as well. Or the other thing is to also look at our own self and figure out, maybe even I have some fault. And that's how this hatred will not be so intense. Maitra, friendly, not making a friend per se, but being friendly to all. Because when you make a friend, then you have labeled one person as a friend or few people as friends and the rest are not your friends. Rather than that, if you can be friendly to all, and it entails two aspects, one is equality and one is equanimity. So equality when it comes to dealing with outside people, and equanimity when it comes to your own mind, which means that maybe you don't like somebody, but if you're called upon to help, you must not have any kind of regrets as to, oh geez, you know, why I didn't want to do this or whatever, anything like that. Karuna, compassion to be expressed as in the form of work, in the form of giving solutions, if somebody has come to you. Because when we look at this compassion aspect in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Arjun was crying, Bhagwan didn't cry with him. Some people, they do have that expectation that, you know, I'm feeling sad, then please acknowledge my feelings. That sort of thing also is there. But as spiritual seekers, yeah, you can say that, but only saying, oh yeah, I'm so sorry to hear this is happening to you. And rather than say that and do nothing, it is better to do something to help. So karuna evacha nirmama, not mine, without mamata with respect to objects. Same thing, it is similar to this friend. You know, when I make these things or these people as mine, then the other people are not mine, or the other objects are not mine. Yeah, the objects, of course, it doesn't matter because objects don't know who they belong to. But with people, when I say this is my, within my child, now this is not my child, that is what is meant by nirmama, means either you include the entire world in yourself as mama, mine, or you be indifferent to the entire world, including your own family and your own children. We don't do that. We think some of them are ours and some of them are not mine. Nirmamo. Then nirahankara. So without the ahanta, I told you ahanta is the foundation of mamata. So if we can take care of that ahanta, the I, sense of I, the sense of doership, this ahankar is the movement in aham, I. You know, ahankar becomes a movement. Then what I starts moving and says, this is mine. I did this. I'm going to enjoy. That is what is called as movement. The I moves and it becomes ahankar. By saying that I am the doer and I will be the enjoyer. And that is what is creating the vasanas, which are creating a blueprint for our next birth. So we want to avoid that. So if we can do things without doership, considering ourselves to be an instrument of the Lord, a devotee of the Lord, a servant of the Lord, whatever it is. So I am an instrument and the results also are offered to Lord. Bhagwan already has said, the sarva karma phala tyagi, one who renounces all his, all the results of his actions. That is what nirankar. Sama dukha sukha, sama equal. Sukha and dukha are not equal, but our response to them should be the same, which means that in joy, we must not get like overly excited, and in sorrow, then we must not get overly dejected as well. So our response to those two situations should be the same. Kshami, forgive, for one who forgives. And I told you the highest level of forgiveness is to not even think that something wrong has been done. That is a very, very high level. For us, if we can forgive and forget, that is also very difficult. We forgive, but it's hard to forget what somebody has done. And somehow it seems to creep in our you know, of course, we should learn from our experiences that, you know, maybe this person has hurt me. Sometimes we don't learn and we do the same mistake again. Or this person is like that for whatever reason, you know, their background, their upbringing is totally different from us. They don't understand why we are doing things in a particular way. So we should try to forgive and forget. If we can't, at least we should forgive, you know, and at least not bring that thing up again and again, Shami. And then we were on the next verse, Santushta, because that's a continuation, the 14th mantra, verse 14. Santushtah satatam yogi. So I just told you what discontentment was. I just told you a little story or whatever. Contentment is the sense of having enough. That is what it is mainly. It is not having more. It is not having, you know, more than somebody else or this thing. That doesn't make us content. Contentment is a state of the mind which tells us that this is more, whatever I have is more than enough. That is what contentment is. And contentment will give peace of mind. It is because we are discontent, our mind is very much agitated. Because I think my house is not big enough. My bank balance is not big enough. My, you know, my weight is not low enough. So there is discontentment at all levels. And if we can avoid that, that is the reason. Why is Bhagwan? Because Bhagwan is very content. So us also, by being content, we are closer to the reality. Because Bhagwan is, you know, he's all full. And we will be content when we have a sense of fulfillment. That is what will make us, you know, how it's very easy to explain when it comes to food. You eat and then there is a point when your stomach is full and then you're like, oh, no, I cannot. So that contentment is easy to understand. But we should have that same feeling with regards to money, wealth, clothes, shoes, whatever else there is, you know, or even our children. Because sometimes, you know, parents are pushing their children to get more marks and more better grades and this and that and all that. So we should be content thinking that whatever is one thing that will help in contentment is that the principle that we get what we deserve. Gurudev has said that many times. He says you get what you deserve and not what you desire, because our desires are never ending and they are go on increasing only desires. But if I have deserved something, I will get it. If I keep that feeling in mind, that's why Bhaja Govindam says this, Mooda Jahihi Dhanaganma Trishna. O fool, give up the Trishna, the thirst for getting wealth. And there Bhagwan says, how do I do this? By understanding Yallabase Nija Karmo Patam. Whatever is the labha, whatever I'm going to get because of my karmas, I will get. Why I should have not, it doesn't mean you don't earn wealth, but that unending thirst for knowledge, the knowledge, there should be an unending thirst for wealth, that thirst should be given up. By that is what will bring contentment. Whatever is in my destiny, I will get. Nobody can take it away. Nobody can give me more than what I'm destined to get. That is also one, that is one side of it. The other side is nobody can take away what is in my destiny. If I can be established in this thought, then I will be content. Okay. Satatam. Satatam comes from tat dhatu, means continuous. So satatam is continuous, means always, means in satatam here, santushta at all levels and in all fields. Not that I'm santushta with my, you know, with one thing, but then the other thing is what I'm going crazy after. Not like that. Therefore, satatam, all around. So where it comes to physical level, mental level, intellectual level, all levels at all times. Satatam also all times, all places. Okay, satatam. Yogi. Yogi, the word is, yogi is one who has yoga. And yoga, according to Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, is Chitta Vritti Nirodha Yoga. So yoga is the one who has a very controlled mind, self-controlled mind. And the one who has a self-controlled mind is called a yogi. Yogi is one who has yoga. Yoga is, what is yoga? Is a very self-controlled mind. Now, if we look at this, if we look at our own self, we have a physical personality, a body, and then we have a mind. And if you really, really observe your own self, your body is moving at one speed and your mind is also moving at one speed. Okay. So there are, in the waking state, the body and the mind, they're both in movement, and the mind is much faster than the body. You know, we are walking and I've gone on this langa just today morning. You know, I go around for a walk or run around the Langara golf course. And today they put a note that the peripheral track is to be used only by joggers, and those who are walking should use the track around the golf course. And I said, there is a track around the, I didn't know. 2 years I've been walking. I never even noticed that there was. So I said, where is this? You know, they put a note. That means it's my. Then suddenly I started looking. Then I looked and there was a little opening. I just went. I said, I must find out what this is. I had not even seen that. Now that they've put a note because of this distancing. So in the waking state, the mind is running at God knows what speed and body is running at one speed. In the dream state, the body is at zero speed and the mind is running, because the mind is very active in the dream state. In the deep sleep state is where the mind and body both are at zero speed. Neither one of them is moving. Body is very steady, so is the mind. Now there is a fourth state, a state of samadhi, where also the body and mind are at zero speed. Now, the difference between samadhi and deep sleep is that in deep sleep, I'm not aware that my mind is not running, but in samadhi, I am aware. I'm aware both that my body is very steady and that mind also is very steady. Whereas in deep sleep, I don't even know that my body is also steady. I don't also know that my mind is steady. Only after I wake up, I come to know, oh, I slept here and this is how I slept and my mind was very peaceful. So that this is how the body and the mind are moving constantly. Here, yogi doesn't refer to the body, refers to the mind. So what is the state of non-movement of the mind and how do we achieve it is what we need to know, because Bhagwan has said that that's what he says. These people are dear to me. That means one who is a yogi, one who whose mind is very controlled. If we remember Tattva Bodh, the Shat Sampatti, there it is said Shama, Dama, Uparama, Titiksha, Shraddha and Samadhan. So that Samadhan is what is being referred to here as yogi. One who has yoga means that is that Samadhan, where the dhi, the intellect is very, very steady. Sama, Samadhan comes from that. So we have to follow that same order. So first it says Shama. Shama is control of the mind. The way I can control my mind from running into unwanted fields. Why does my mind run? Okay. My mind runs because I have put some sort of fanciful imagination, some sort of reality into the world. Value I have put. My mind doesn't run into what must be that lizard doing there or spider doing there, because I've not put value. But definitely my mind probably is running into what is my neighbor doing? Is he doing this, that, or something? You know, what is my friend doing or something like that? So the first thing is to reduce this fascination with the world. To the extent that we can reduce our fascination, reduce the reality that we are giving the world, the mind will become that much controlled. It will not, what is the point in running? You know, because running in false fields, right? So that is one thing of controlling the mind. The other thing of controlling the mind is to fix the mind in some goal. I've given you this example very, very often, that the Olympic athletes, when they fix their mind on the gold medal, then their mind is completely withdrawn, detached from the rest of the world, from their parties, from their phone calls of friends, whatever it is. So that way, if we can fix our goal on the supreme reality, because that's what the devotee I mean, study of the scriptures is to, then what will happen is we will say that that goal is very important to me. And to reach that goal, I need a controlled mind. So I don't want my mind to run. So I'm not going to allow it to run. It will run. Mind is extremely, it's like a monkey. It's very difficult to control. It will run. But when it starts running, if we can pull ourselves back, at least we can try. You know, and it will not run. If I don't pay importance to something, it is not going to run in that. So devaluing the world also is one way. Of course, what things are important to us, we must definitely, write them down, keep them in our mind, do them, things at work, you know, they're important, those, not like that, but where it is running in unnecessary fields. If I'm thinking about my work that I have to do tomorrow at work or now even from home, that is okay. Because that is your goal. You are there, you're an employee and you have a job of, doing something. That is okay. But Shama, Dhamma is control of the senses. The control of the senses are running because of habit. You know, we have so many habits, right? We like food a certain way. We like, clothes a certain way. So what happens is those habits are making our senses very agitated. Because if I don't get what I like or what I want, then I'm getting agitated. So if we try to avoid insistence, see, when I'm home, I'm alone, I can do whatever that I want to do. You know, as per my liking and my disliking, I can cook the food, I can have it warm, have it cold, have it whatever. That is okay. But that must not be, that insistence must not be when I go to somebody else's house. A typical example that I remember long time back, you know, some relatives from India had come. Now in their house, they were used to eating at 9 o'clock at night. In India, generally, we were used to eating at 6 o'clock. So they said, no, 6 o'clock, they can't eat. So they were eating at 9 o'clock. Okay, so I said, okay, fine, then 9. But when we went to the house in India, they didn't give us food at 6. They said, you have to eat at 9 because we eat at 9. Insistence, right? That sort of duragraha, it is called, duragraha. Agraha is one thing, but duragraha, you know, where it should happen like I want it. Now, whatever you do, it doesn't matter. So that should not be there. Then the senses will come under control. Senses and mind, they work together. So controlling the senses will also help controlling of the mind. Shama, Dhamma, Uparama. That is another way of controlling the mind and the senses. Uparama is a definition of from Tattvabodh is Swadharma Anushthana. That means what? Minding my own business. In plain, simple language is if I don't put my nose where it is not required to be put, to that extent, my mind will be controlled. Because when I start wanting to know things that are happening in other person's life, where it is none of my concern, whatever is happening, then my mind is going to run in that. So Uparama is also will help in this. To become a yogi, Uparama, where I am not asked to help, where I have no business to help, I should not go. If I go, somebody invites me, I should stay only as long as, you know, it's reasonable time, not stay there, overstay my welcome. So that will help in controlling. Because the more things you hear about people, the more mind gets disturbed. And the mind keeps running there. So better if you don't know only. What doesn't concern us? All this, you know, all this becomes easy when I have said that I am a spiritual seeker and I want to, you know, try to at least inculcate some of these virtues that Bhagwan is telling me in Bhagavad Gita, then this withdrawal from other things will become easy. To do all this, we need titiksha. Shama, Dhamma, Uparama, titiksha, endurance. Because what happens then is, I mean, I have gotten labeled antisocial now because I don't go for too many parties. I don't invite people. People think I'm anti, and I say, you know what? It's okay. If I'm antisocial, I'm anti. I know that I'm a friendly person. If somebody calls me to help them, I will. But I'm not going to just do parties just because they think that I should. this is how I've got some people, they think that I should, oh, why should I have a party? Because I'm not interested in that. And you don't have to invite me also. I'm happy. Don't invite me, right? So that's why it requires endurance. Otherwise people, you know, get hurt. So it requires a lot of endurance. And again, all this becomes easy when I have my eyes on that goal. That when I, and then when I have put value on the correct thing. See, if that peace of mind is very valuable to me, then I'm not going to care about whatever anybody else says. Okay. Otherwise, there are people who are living just for, they think, what will people say? So I should do. Log kya kahenge? That is another thing. I have friends like that also. They say, oh, what will people say if I don't do this? What will people say if I do? Are you, let them say whatever they want to say. So that will keep. And then last is Shraddha. Faith. Unless we have faith in all this, we are not going to do. Why would I control my mind if I don't have faith in what Bhagwan is saying or what my guru is saying, what my teacher is telling me? So faith is required. And finally, you reach that state of Samadhan, which is this yogi, which is put in this word, yogi. Yatatma. Yatatma is one who is striving. And where we are not under the influence of our own nature, where there is no insistence, just like I told you with senses. Senses will come under control when we are not so much insisting on whatever habits that I have. Same way with our own swabhava, our own nature, we should be able to go against that when required. When required. If it's not required, you don't. You're alone at home, you can do whatever, but if this thing. So the one who is trying, yatatma, yatatma, yatate, it comes from yatate. So striving, one who is striving hard to reach this position where Bhagwan can say he is dear to me, that yatatma. Okay, dhrida nishchaya, dhrida, firm, nishchaya, conviction. We must have firm conviction in the methods, in the means, and in the goal. Because if we don't have faith or firm conviction in the goal and no firm conviction that I do want to reach that goal, I'm not even going to go for the means. If I don't have any value for the goal, so I should have conviction that it is the correct goal. See, people don't think also that this is the correct goal, right? Why we should do all this? There's no enjoyment. I cannot enjoy the world and the parties and this and that and everything. So that firm conviction comes there, dhrida nishchaya. Atma tattva, we should understand properly. We should have the conviction of the satchit ananda, pure consciousness, the reflection happening in the pool of the mind. That is how it is, this whole body is functioning. So that sort of firm conviction is required. And then mai arpita manaha and buddhihi. You have seen this many times. Mai avesha also Bhagwan has said. Mind and intellect has been offered unto him. Mind being offered into him means where the sankalpa and vikalpatmaka nature of the mind. Mind, I told you, has two natures. One is of the nature of knowledge and one is of the nature of sankalpa and vikalpa. Sankalpa is a positive thought, and then there is this vikalpa which comes, sankalpa, I'll do something. You know, I'll get up early in the morning and go for a walk. And then, should I? It's really raining today or it's snowing. I don't want to go. That is vikalpa. So when we get away from this constantly opposing thoughts, and we remain firm with our sankalpa, even though the vikalpa comes, should I really go get up in the morning and go? And then I say, no, I must. Then I have offered the mind into the Lord. Because I understand that the Lord is choiceless and very firm. So when I give my mind the choice to do things, choiceless existence is Brahman. Okay. Just like the sun. I told you. Maitra, you know, sun. Does the sun say that some theft is going on there? I will not give my light and heat. There's some satsang is going on here, so I will give more here and less there. Doesn't. So sun doesn't have a choice. That way, Brahman also doesn't have a choice. That's why Bhagwan said, I'm there in Arjun, equally I'm there in Duryodhan. There's problem with the upadhi, that's why all these different behaviors are coming. But Brahman is same. So Brahman is choiceless existence. if we want to reach Brahman, we should be like Brahman, and we should also have a choice list. If the more choices we give ourselves, more chances of making the wrong choice. See, when the sankalpa comes, it's always a good thought, you know. So I should get up in the morning, go for a walk, or I should, you know, attend classes regularly. I should do my reading every day. Now, in this, I should chant my Vishnu Sahasranam every day. That is, all these are falling under sankalpa. Then it comes, oh, today I'm really tired. You know, if what is there if I miss Vishnu Sahasranam Monday? It's okay. You know, God will forgive me. That is a vikalpa. So I have given myself a choice. Even by thinking that I'm, if I say, no, tired or sleepy or whatever, I haven't read today. I didn't have a chance. Now I'm going to sit at night and read. Then I have not given myself a choice. So when I don't give myself the choice, but sankalpa, like, do I do this or that? Then I'm closer to the reality. Then the mind is considered to be offered to the Lord. That the mind has not been given a choice. The mind is acting choiceless, without any choices. So the mind is acting like Brahman. That way. Intellect, same thing. Mano buddhi. Intellect is the one that decides. So when that deciding factor is there, very firm, that this is what I have said I would do, I will do, and then that is what I'm going to do, and not make excuses. Oh, I couldn't go for a walk because phone calls came, this happened, that happened. Then that is not my arpita mano buddhi. So when the mind and intellect, I've already told you that all these, when you look at the high level of devotee, there is, they, my arpita means in the mind, they have no thought other than their Ishta Devata. But we are not like that, right? We want to reach there. So this is the sadhana for us. What is their nature? It's just like second nature to them. That is how they are. They are Advaishta. They are friendly towards all. They are compassionate towards all. They don't have the sense of I and mine, because everything, their whole personality is overpowered by their Ishta Devata. For a devotee, there always be some fixed Ishta Devata. Now, Yo Mad Bhaktaha, there are two, in the last part, there are two things there. Yaha Mad Bhakta means, Yaha means this person who, starting from Advaishta to this Mayar Pita Mano Buddhi He, and then Yaha Mad Bhaktaha is this, Bhagwan is from the side of the devotee. That is being said from, so that such a person is my devotee, Bhagwan says. And then Saha Me Priyaha, Saha means he is then dear to me. So there are two things. One is from the side of the devotee and one is from the side of Bhagwan. So he says from the devotee side, he is extremely devoted to me. One who has all these qualities, and with a devotee, it's his second nature. He's very devoted. Means I recognize his devotion. And from the other side, then he is very, very dear to me. Now the question here that we can ask ourselves, which I myself asked, how do I know, if, suppose if I'm practicing all these, then how would I know that I'm dear to Bhagwan? How would I? Bhagwan is not going to come and tell me, right? I mean, that would be great if he can come and say, but that is not going to happen. So the measure for us should be how peaceful my mind is. See, understand that the peace of mind, because Bhagwan is peace himself, is peace incorporate, right? So the more the mind, my mind is at peace, the more firmly and quickly I can make decisions. You know, there are times when we decide, and when we do Shreya Prayer Vivek, when we are choosing this Shreya at all time, what is good for me, then, and then when I can follow through, when I follow through that, then know that you are dear to God. Because without his sanction, nothing happens. So if things are happening as per your own sankalpas, you know, which is all good thought. Sankalpa is good thought. Okay, sankalpa is not a sankalpa if I decide to go rob a bank tomorrow. That is not sankalpa. Sankalpa is if I decide I'm going to, you know, exercise for my body, read every day, chant every day. all these fall under sankalpa, or I'm going to try to be Advaishta. And then when I feel hatred towards somebody, I tone it down. I use the methods that I've been told. Don't find faults in the, don't keep, we get upset because we have expected something and then that expectation is not fulfilled. So don't keep expectation from other people, etc., etc. And when that leads to peace of mind, then you will know that, yeah, God is pleased with me. Because how do I know that? How do I know that? So when I say, oh, thank God, you know, like, yeah, I'm glad I went for a walk, or I did. So that is how we will know. Therefore, it is. Therefore, Bhagwan says here, he is my devotee and then he is dear to me. Okay. Now, 15. Yasman no dvijate lokaha, lokan no dvijate chayaha, harsha marsha bhayo dvegahi, muk. He by whom the world is not agitated, afflicted, and who cannot be agitated by the world, who is freed from joy, envy, fear, and anxiety, he is dear to me. So the one difference here that you will notice is Bhagwan has not said, in the previous verse he said, yaha, yaha madbhaktaha. He has not said. He said, same priyaha. Here he just said, Sachame, and he is dear to me. He doesn't say, Yaha Mad Bhakta here. And the reason for that is, if we can follow these, the first is, Yasman no Dvijate, means he doesn't agitate anybody else. Lokan no Dvijate Chaya, so he doesn't get agitated by other people. And then Harsha, Amarsha, Bhaya, and then Udvega, these are kept under Mukta, he's free from that. So if these conditions are followed, he is a devotee of the Lord. Bhagwan doesn't have to say that. That is why Bhagwan doesn't say he is my devotee. It's understood. We have to understand that such a person who is following these instructions is the devotee of the Lord. So now let us see. He by whom the world is not agitated. Now, and then he is. So we can also get agitated, and world also can get agitated because of us. So what are the reasons for agitation? Because unless we know the reasons for, when we know what the reason is, then we can avoid doing that. You know, that's why we should know why. So at a very, very gross level, at a very, very lower level, agitation can be there because of plain, simple body hygiene. You know, somebody who has not showered, somebody who has not brushed, bad breath, this thing, that thing, all those things. But we are not even going to go into that because, you know, as spiritual seekers, I mean, I forget it, all Indians, you know, we'll either take once or even twice bath, and we're, you know, so all that. But that at a gross level, I'm talking that the other reason for agitation can be expectations. So when I expect something from somebody else and then that expectation is not fulfilled, I can get agitated. Or if somebody is expecting something from me and I don't fulfill that, that can be a cause. Agitation can be caused from both sides. Am I expected to do something and I'm not doing, or somebody else I'm expecting and they are not doing? But that is one thing. Secondly, we get agitation can come because of, let me just check my notes here. Another agitation comes when we unnecessarily get involved in other people's lives. There are people who are very, very nosy, I must say, you know. So everywhere they want to know everything that is happening in everybody's life. Now what happens is sometimes this becomes also a source of agitation. Because if I want to know everything that is happening with somebody, and that person may not be wanting to tell me. Just last week, I got a call from Victoria, one of my friends, and she had actually written to me on WhatsApp. She said, I'm psychologically disturbed. I thought something with the virus, you know, like maybe not that she tested, not like that. But I thought, you know, because now alone she's there in the apartment. Now nobody can visit her. Friends cannot visit her and all that. So I called her, and then there was some, she said, do you want me to tell you? She said to me. I said, what is it? Is it something to do? She moved also. I said, is something to do with your move? Like you can't fit your furniture in your house, or you know, and she doesn't have any help now because nobody can go visit her and help her. You know, her, she has friends there, but she can't. She said, no, it is, do you really want to know? She said, then I said to her, I'll be very honest with you. I'm not nosy and I do not want to know, because I know that once she tells me, then I'm also going to get disturbed. Do I want to know? No. I said, I don't want to know, but you are a friend. So if you think that you will feel better by vomiting out, then you vomit. I don't want to, because what will, you know? So I said, you decide, because it's like you get a stomach upset, you vomit, you feel better. So if you're mentally, you're disturbed, if you tell somebody, you feel better. I said, if you think that you will feel better, I actually use the word vomit. I said, you can vomit. I can handle it, but I don't want to know. So then she told me. Then all the solutions, you know, I had, mine is mostly prayers. And she said, I would like to chant Hanuman Chalisa. I said, fantastic. I'll just mail you the book. English transliteration is there. You give me a video call if you want me to. She's grown up here, Indian background, but grown up here. So I said, if you want me to chant it for you, I can chant it on WhatsApp. And, you know, you'll know it's very simple, et cetera, et cetera. So, but if I try to be, you know, then simply at all I'm taking on, and then the other person may not want to tell me. And there are people, and the most irritating, this is what I have always found, and I always said, you know, somebody's daughter is not get, when is your daughter going to get married? And when is your child going to have a child? When are you going to have, you know, if my daughter gets married, will I not be the first one to tell you? If my child is going to have a child, will I not be the first one to tell you guys? So why keep asking all the time? That irritates them. That becomes a source of agitation. So if we don't want to be, you know, agitating other people, we must avoid these things. That is why we should know what agitates. One is getting too nosy. One is, like I told you, expecting things. Then those needy people, you know, there are people who are needy. Now there is so much expectation from other people, and people do things and they are unable to return favors. So as spiritual seekers, see, others are not spiritual seekers. They are not on the path. We are on the path. So one thing to do is to become very independent as much as possible. If we can remain independent, then we are not expecting others. And when we really need help, then we can ask for help. But if we don't need help, people have, my students asked me, you know, do you want us to buy you your groceries? I'm going. One of the students asked me. I said, no, I will go myself. I can so far. If I fall sick or something, and if I absolutely can't go, then I can tell somebody. But if I'm well and simply at all, just because I don't want to expose myself to all this, if I'm not going, then it becomes a source of agitation. So we must not be a source of agitation to anybody. And these are the things that we should avoid. People should feel confident. I told you, Karuna, one thing of Karuna, they're all tied in all these verses. One thing of Karuna is that people should feel comfortable in our company. People should feel comfortable telling us things. Like this friend, she told me, fine, you know, but you want to tell me, you tell me. I am not going to come asking you anything. So they should feel comfortable. If they can feel comfortable, if we can, then obviously we are not agitating them. Sometimes we don't know how the other person is, and then we maybe talk loudly, or we get very excited, then the other person is not. Then once you come to know how they are, then we must again control our behavior. It is more responsibility on us, because we are on this path, that we make sure that we don't irritate anybody, don't agitate anybody. This is what Bhagwan is saying. Yes, manu dvijate. This, you know, from whom udvijate, it is the udvijate. Udvijate, udvija is the word. Udvija, udvij, ud is going up. Okay, so udvega, vega, there is one word, vega. Vega is speed. So vega is a horizontal speed. So what we say, the car is speeding, train is speeding, or even our mind, we say, is speeding. It is going in like horizontal. But udvega, when it is said, it is a vertical speed. Vertical. Now, what is going up? Like fire goes up. Udvega. Okay. Vomit. Vomit is against gravity, right? From our stomach, it comes out from the mouth. So it's going against gravity. Udana is the vayu that controls all this against gravity movements. So udvega is agitation, and it is a vertical speed. That is what this udvega is. Udvega, because it's ud and vega, two words are there. Vega and then udvega. That is what udvega is. And the one who does not create this agitation for others. Also, okay, he may not be creating agitation for other people, but he may be getting very irritated when other people do all these kinds of things. That also should not happen. For a devotee, that also must not happen, that he is getting irritated at every little thing. For the highest devotee, this is easy, because you know why? Whoever is irritating him, he thinks it is my Ishtadevata only. See, for a higher, where his mind is, now, if his mind is in the Ishtadevata, even if somebody does something, he thinks, oh, my Ishtadevata is only doing this. Now, what is there to get irritated with somebody that I love so much? How can anybody hurt me? Because I am only seeing my own reflection or my own Ishtadevata in that person. How can that person hurt me? And will he ever hurt anybody else? Or will he ever agitate anybody else? Because if every person he looks at is his Ishtadevata, he's not going to do anything to agitate that person, no? So from a devotee standpoint, this is very easy. But for us, we should also try. And the way we can try is by basically thinking that, you know what, work around it. The other reason for agitation also, sometimes people have a very strong individuality. And what I mean by very strong individuality is, like I was telling in yesterday's class, I think, especially I have noticed this. If anybody's grandmother in this audience, then don't worry about it. Not that I'm talking about you. You talk anything. I have friends who are not in the mission. You talk anything to them and the grandchild will come, including the virus. I said something about the virus. Oh, my grandchild said he won't come. Grandma, I won't come to you because, you know, I could be carrying the virus and I could give it to you. So that is a strong individuality. What happens is then that person tends to talk about himself or his or own grandchild and will not listen to the other person at all. So that person also then becomes a source of agitation. So for us as spiritual seekers, we already have seen nirankara. So we must not always bring, you know, you talk, I don't know if you have, or these people come to me or I notice, anything I say, immediately say, I did it, da-da-da-da-da. Once myself and some other lady were talking in something, I don't remember. Somebody, third person came, immediately she just started, everything. Then I said to her, but we were not talking about you. So why you bring your I in there? You can talk about the topic that is going on. You can't just bring yourself in there. But that what happens is that is the case of a strong individuality where the I keeps coming up all the time. And that is not the pure self I. It is the small I, which is the ego. And the person tends to talk about themselves and wants to talk so much that there is no time to listen to the other person. That is something we must avoid. Listening takes more strength than talking. Let me tell you. Listening skills are very, very important. And if we can make the other person feel that I am willing and I am listening to you 100%, look at our Swamijis. You know, when you talk to them 100%, their Gurudev, Guruji, whoever it is, you know, 100% they will give their mind to you. Because you're talking to them, whatever it is. And so what happens is the other person feels very important. Okay, this person is listening to me, right? But when I'm trying to say something, now if that other person starts with, I did this and I did that, then I'm going to back off. Now I'm going to say, she's not even listening to me. He or she is not listening to me. Why should I even bother? That also becomes a source of this thing. So individuality is there, expectation is there. All these things become a source of agitation. And for us not to get agitated, we must think at least of all these things, like, no, that other person, why is doing it, and learn to work around it. You know, just keep quiet and listen. You come to know if this person is only going to talk about themselves or their grandchildren. Once you know the person, then you check. The only person that you can change in this entire world is yourself. You cannot change anybody else. You have to change. So once you know that this is how this person is, rather than hate that person, one thing is, you need not on your own go and, you know, interact with this person. But when you meet that person, somewhere along the line in your life, you will meet because you know them. And when they start talking, then we say, okay, now I'm going to practice my listening skills and I'm just going to keep quiet. Let them talk. And then go on talking. Now what to do? But don't get agitated. Don't get agitated. Understand how the other person is and change yours. That is what I have learned in you know, as I go into my studies. And if I'm like, if I don't want any kind of agitation, I don't ask anything to anybody. I've never asked when your daughter is getting married or when your son is getting a child, because I know it hurts. Why? And I think if it is going to happen, will they not tell me? It's a happy thing. They will tell me. So why I should go on asking all the time to people? So they shouldn't be doing those kinds of things. So this way we can keep our peace of mind and not get agitated by other people and not agitate other people either as well. Harsha is an excessive excitement or reaction to something good. If I were to give you an example, there was a person who won $1 million lottery. So he got really worried. He said to his friend, I've won the $1 million lottery, but I'm very afraid that if I tell my wife, suddenly she might get a heart attack and die because, you know, she'll be so excited about this good news. So the friend said, don't worry. Why don't you just leave it with me and I will go talk to your wife and I will break it to her gently. He says, okay, fine, you go tell. So he goes to the wife and he says, what if I tell you that, you've won $1 million in lottery? So the wife says, oh, really? Then I will give you half. When he heard that she will give him half, he only had a heart attack and he died. Excessive excitement about something. Harsha. That is Harsha. That is Muk. And here the word Mukta is there then. Means he is free of this type of excitement. So when good things happen, you're like 10 people you call. It's same similar idea to Sama Sukha Dukha. Sama Sukha, when Sukha comes, you don't get overly excited. Harsha. And then Amarsha. So Amarsha is envy. I think Gurudev is trying. Yeah, joy, envy. Amarsha is why would I become envious? Is, of course, I'm not content with what I have. And then whatever that other person has, I think I don't have it. And now there is envy. Right? See, these things. Devotees, he will not get overly excited. Immediately he'll say, oh, that is what the Lord has given me, and he accepts. He doesn't feel envious because he is already so content with himself. Santushta satatam yogi. His mind is very self-controlled. So Harshad cannot be there because the mind is an uncontrolled mind which goes, off on a tangent. When they hear happy or sorrow also, it could go. So envy cannot be there. Bhaya, fear is arising out of otherness. Now the devotee doesn't even think that there is anybody other than the Ishta Devata. So how he will feel fear? But we can also understand fear is because of otherness. Fear is because of attachment also. Please understand that, when we are attached to, now so many people are fearful of the virus because they're attached to, there is an attachment to the life, to their own life. And that is the greatest attachment that we have to this body. Because what dies is the body. It's not the soul. But if we are feeling, so fear comes out of attachment. If we can reduce that attachment to anything, fear will reduce. If the sense of otherness is reduced, fear will reduce. Bhaya, and then udvega. So that is fear, anxiety. Because anxiety is going to cause agitation. So one who is mukta, who is free from all these things, yaha sacha me priyaha. This person is very dear to me. These are characteristics of the devotee that we are seeing. We'll be seeing the same theme till verse 20. I will stop here today. Are there any questions?
Jayaji, If you win a million, don't hesitate to tell me because I'll
be... You'll be strong enough. I'll tell you. I'll be writing you a check to your center right away. Don't worry.
I think it's a very good idea what you suggested last week, that we should have discussions.
Like I told you yesterday, we started the discussion and I was telling Vinita, actually, it went very well. What I can do, each one of you can pick a verse of your choice. Okay. So somebody will have to keep track of who has picked what verse. What we do is we only unmute that person. The video remains on. We only unmute that person and that person speaks his views, his or her views, his understanding of the verse. Mainly it's not views, not my opinion. I think that this is what Bhagwan meant, not like that. But this is what I understand from the verse. Then what I do is I will ask anybody else if they want to add something. Whoever wants to add can unmute and then add. And if there is something to be said, I will. If not, we go on to the next verse. Is that sounds